Hey guys, welcome to Annex Gamecast, the Essentials Level 5. I'm Unbiased Ann, and I'm here with Genesis and Terrence, aka Grumpy Bear. How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Good, what's going down?
It's a good day.
Is it?
It's hot.
Everything's good for Terrence. He just woke up. So
probably he took a power nap.
Ain't nothing wrong with a good old nap.
That is true. As long as you don't sleep too long, because then you start feeling... I wake up feeling sick.
Yeah.
Quick 30 minute, 15. Yeah. Pretty good.
I thought he was out for about 2 hours, but I don't know. I lost track.
He's like, don't say that.
No, no. Once you snore once or twice and you wake up, oh.
Oh, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, what are y'all excited to talk about today?
Terrence?
I'm excited to talk about Black Clover.
Black Clover, okay. Yeah. I've heard about it. I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it, so that'll be good. I'm excited to talk about Dragon Ball Super as normal. So,
Unbiased Dan.
What about you?
I'm excited to talk about Crash.
Okay, Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot.
All right, who the baga? Let's go ahead and do the social media thing. Follow us at ANX Gamecast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the Apple Podcast app. Let me talk about SoundCloud real quick. I don't know what happened. I'm not saying that I don't like it, but one of our podcasts kind of blew up and just got a whole bunch of listens. It was the Marvel versus DC debate. So thank you all for supporting us. If you hear my voice, please make sure to remember to follow and subscribe. The likes do count, so make sure to hit those buttons. If you have any emails about today's show, please send them to podcast@anxgamecenter.com. Let's move on to
round one.
And let's talk about the anime that we're currently watching.
Terrence.
Black Clover. What is this about?
So Black Clover is basically about Asta. Asta is the lead protagonist of this series. And the quirk that he has is he's always yelling. So even when he talks basic.
You said this on a previous show, didn't you?
Yeah.
Something about the main character yelling at folks.
Yelling at folks all the time. Even when he's happy, he's yelling.
And does he ever talk to the camera? Because he ain't going to be yelling at me. I'm just saying.
He's just full of energy.
Oh, okay.
So he's always full of energy. So it's Asta and Yuno. Yuno is his best friend, but also like his rival. And so throughout the beginning, they are orphaned in a church, and they are raised in a church by a nun who Asta wants to marry. And, you know, you can't marry.
Oh, this
yeah.
took a turn. Okay.
You can't marry the nuns of the church. But the main premise of the story is they live in a world where magic is how people live day to day. And if you can't use magic, you're not worthy. You're like... There's like a class of magic. And then at the very bottom is those who can't perform magic at all. And Asta can't.
So no. wait, what kind of magic are we talking about? Like disappearing or like, hey, where's the, how'd you know? How did I guess what card you know? Or
no,
what are we
magic,
talking about?
Like the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Right. What are we talking about?
Everybody like almost kind of like a Naruto style where
no,
you have
that.
Like, wind, you have fire, you have ice.
Elements.
Everything.
Oh, like you can create wind. Somebody can like be like...
Well, they get grimoires, which is like a book. And this book is what they take with them. It allows them to use certain magic. Now, Asta, he has a grimoire, which is different because Yuna has one that has six clovers, which is supposed to be good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And the Magic King, who died many years ago, had a book that had six clovers. Asta's has seven, which is unlucky, and he doesn't have magic.
Mm.
So this sounds like something that when he is able to do some magic, it's going to be crazy powerful. That's what it sounds like.
Like, stay on his good side,
because right.
you never know when it's going to flip.
Which is funny, because all throughout the beginning, Asta trained every day. So physically, he is stronger than any of the other characters because he never had the aptitude of magic.
Right.
So he is like, there are a couple of times when he just fought with brute force and won.
You know how it is in video games. These people that use a lot of magic and all that kind of stuff. Boy, they're skinny. They're frail. They ain't got no HP.
Correct.
No strength.
That's how they have a mask.
They're skinny.
So, but this has been a good series so far. And I've did both in dub and...
Dub and sub?
And sub. I prefer it in the Japanese version. Mm. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
He screams all the time. So even when he's talking to you, he's screaming. Mm-hmm. So in English, it's more irritating. It's more irritating because it's a voice that I know.
Well, I feel like that would be the case. When I do listen to Japanese anime subtitles, I do feel like a lot of the times that people are screaming. I don't know what it is. I don't understand what they're saying, so I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're screaming, but it just appears that someone is screaming all the time. So that wouldn't surprise me that if you heard it, you know, in English, that it would bother you. And like you said before, it's not something we're used to.
It's passion.
Someone screaming all the time. Now, there is one anime, and I'm going to butcher the name. I think it's Durarara.
Yeah.
Durr. There is a character on there who screams. Not all the time, though. He's pretty calm. I can't remember his name. I love that show, though. Just generally speaking, that show is dope. I like all the characters. But this guy is fine until you tick him off. And then he's the one who will pick up a bus and throw it at you. But the whole time, he's screaming and yelling and cussing and biting and fighting and picking up buses and
right.
That kind of stuff. So that's the only time I think I've encountered it outside of, you know, your normal anime stuff, your Yu-Gi-Oh! Transformations.
Okay.
People are usually screaming. And that's about it.
Which I can see you really disliking because you don't like even American TV where somebody's yelling all the time.
Well, I don't mind it in anime because they're not trying to be funny.
Oh, okay.
So with American comedy, Will Ferrell, not funny because you're screaming and yelling and it's supposed to be funny and it's not and that's it.
But if you're not first, you're last.
What?
If you're not first, you're last.
What?
Yeah. Bobby Boucher or whatever. Not Bobby Boucher, whatever it's called.
I don't.
I love Will Ferrell.
I hate Will Ferrell.
I love Will Ferrell.
Again, unless he wants to join the show and talk about some video games. Then we can do it, you know. But not funny to me.
More cowbell.
I liked his character more in the other guys than anything else because he wasn't doing all the yelling and screaming and streaking and all this other mess that he does. That's not funny. So I like him and the other guys. Like I like that character and the other guys. That was funny. Anyway, anything else about Black Clover that we should know about?
No. The progression is so far there are probably about 5 arcs and they're in the 5th arc right now. It's really good. If you ever get a chance to invest some time, it's really worth it. It's okay. Really worth it.
So I'm gonna try to go on my memory banks. Dragon Ball Super, and maybe you can help me out because since you've seen it all, I'm at the part where Goku put out a hit on himself. No pun intended, or pun intended. So somebody was trying to kill him, and he knew it. He didn't tell anybody, but he was training to try to figure out when this person was going to show up and how they were going to attack him and all this kind of stuff. Turned out to be hit from the tournament, person he fought in the tournament that probably could have killed Goku in the tournament if that was a part of the rules, but it wasn't. So he didn't, and they ended that, whatever, that's old news. Hit showed up and killed Goku. Goku got murked. And I was happy. Because I don't like Goku. I like Goku better with the halo on his head because I know he's going away soon.
Like, I feel like when y'all say people die or people were killed, I'm like, mm-hmm. Because he's just going to come back anyway, right?
He did in the same episode.
Yeah. So
he basically, before he died, it looked like he was charging up an attack to hit. But he really just threw an energy ball up in the air. After he died, the energy came back and...
Hit him,
and it kind of, you know, worked like the defibrillator. shocked his heart back and he was back alive, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I would just love to see like a whole saga. I don't know if I want to call him arcs
where he's
yet,
gone.
Where he's gone and Vegeta gets to save the day.
So here's where the problem is with all of that.
Here's where you're wrong, basically.
Me?
No. I'm just waiting to see what Terrence is gonna say.
Huh? Right. So without Goku, there would be no Dragon Ball. It's not Dragon Ball because of Vegeta. It's not Dragon Ball because of Chi-Chi or Bulma. It's Dragon Ball because of Goku.
I thought it was Dragon Ball because of the Dragon Balls.
It's, no.
Which the Namekians made. So let's go with Piccolo then.
It would be no Dragon Ball without Goku.
You're talking about the show in general.
I'm talking about
the show. But I don't mean I have to like Goku just because he is what Japanese fans liked, so they kept putting him in your face when Gohan was supposed to take over Dragon Ball Z, and who knows what was supposed to happen in GT, but who knows what's supposed to happen in Super.
It didn't take
so, in Japan,
which is, this is my whole thing with American people.
You are American people,
man.
Yeah,
I'm like,
he's
around.
Like everybody else, I mean.
Yeah. Everybody wants it their way. This ain't Burger King.
Yeah. I'm not saying it has to be my way. I'm just saying I don't like Goku.
He is a good character. He is the Superman of Dragon Ball Z.
I hate Superman. Oh, Superman man. Is corny to me. Goku is corny to me.
Well, then you're at least you're consistent.
Right.
Oh, pretty much.
Captain America is corny to me. Yeah. Yeah. Man, we got to get these cameras going.
The looks.
Man, two cameras. I just need two more cameras and we can make this happen. I mean, like we talked about this. If we're talking about Dragon Ball characters that I like, my favorite is PyCon, then Vegeta. We got the one-armed Trunks in History of Trunks. One-armed Gohan, I'm sorry, in History of Trunks. Piccolo's cool. You know, Goku.
I love Chi-Chi. I like her voice.
I feel like her voice changed, didn't it?
As she got older.
Mm-hmm. And her voice changed, but you know.
She's like, Goku! Like, I can't do it, but it's so funny to me. She's always yelling at him.
But see, Goku? Nah. So, you know, am I supposed to thank Goku? I'm supposed to be thanking Goku?
Yeah, you are, because Goku is the planet saver. Everybody else takes that lick down. And Goku's like, you know what? Let me go ahead and handle this.
I feel like Goku is the cheating character, kind of like Yugi and Yu-Gi-Oh. Like I don't like Yugimoto either. I guess I like Yami Yugi when he transforms, but I don't really like Yugimoto. It's like you're cheating. Like how you using magic powers to get the strongest card out the deck? How you got all five Exodia pieces out here because you start yelling and you're using your little cheat magic? That's what Goku is. It's like, how are you not dead already? How do you just keep getting stronger all the time?
Why won't you just go away?
Just go away. Like, you don't... They try to make him, in Super, I feel like, they try to make him smarter, a smarter fighter. Like, I'm going to figure out your techniques. That's Vegeta's thing, man. That's not your thing. Like, you've never been smart. Like, you're always the dumb brute that just keeps getting stronger because, oh, I have a pure heart and I'm doing this for, I'm saving the world.
Forgot you hate the pure heart.
Man, get out of here with that mess, man.
The pure heart. Yeah. Which is why you hate Captain America. The pure heart.
It's corny. Justice.
He's cold-hearted, I tell you.
And peace.
Cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded.
I mean, that is what makes him. I mean, he is the purest fighter. And even Vegeta looks up to him.
I wouldn't say looks up. I don't think that's
accurate. I do.
I don't think that's accurate at all.
That it is.
He looks up to Goku. Let me take that back. Okay. I agree. He looks up to Goku because he's about 2 feet shorter than him. And that's about it.
He physically looks up to him.
Look here. The pure of heart has changed Vegeta.
I think
heart has changed. Well, I don't want to spoil.
I think he's envious of Goku. I don't really think he looks up to him. I think that's kind of two different things. Like Goten, Gohan, they look up to him. Krillin, your favorite character, looks up to him. Vegeta, no.
And Piccolo looks up to him. But Piccolo's is different because Piccolo is like the surrogate dad for Gohan.
Right. I was about to say, he looks up to him so much He done raised his kids for him.
Right. because he's pure of heart. He is the reason why Goku died the first time, because he held on to Raditz.
Right.
And Piccolo killed Raditz, which in the same point killed.
Fourth wall.
Oh.
Oh.
That's the wrong button. I'm sorry.
So, I'm good with it. I'm good. I like it. And when you do get to the tournament, it will get really juicy.
I'll get there one day. I'll get there one day. I'll get there on my own time. So we talked about the one episode. I don't really remember what happened after that. I feel like it's just a lot of filler going on. We had an episode with Mike B recently where we were talking about the difference between canon and non-canon. I started looking up some stuff because we couldn't get down to a definite answer. But I saw this video where the guy was talking about canon versus non-canon versus filler. And I don't know. I guess I just have my own definition of filler episodes. I don't really care if it was in the original manga, book, whatever, right? My thing is, if it doesn't have anything to do with the main story of the saga or arc, then it's filler to me. Like if we're in the middle of a Frieza saga and you just have a full episode where they're just catching fish and frying up fish, that don't have anything to do with what's going on with Frieza. And you will dedicate a full episode to that. And I don't necessarily like that. Even this episode with Hit, I don't think it may tie in later, but I don't think it has anything to do with the next villain that's about to appear in Dragon Ball Super for the part that I'm on.
Well, I think the Hit one was training.
Right.
And at the time, that through the previous tournament, when he was fighting Hit, that was the only person that pushed him that far. So he wanted to continue that training process with Hit.
Right.
But they disguised it as an assassin coming after him.
Yeah.
In order to make it happen.
But like I said, generally speaking, at the end of the day, nothing really happened. He got a little training, but it still had nothing to do with the main story. Like, and definitely the episode before that, where again, I think I talked about it before, they did a crossover episode with some other old Toriyama anime and some girl was beating up on Vegeta. That doesn't have anything to do with anything ever.
I like the filler episodes in Dragon Ball Z only because I get tired of watching them just fight.
Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super?
Whatever.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we clarify.
I guess Super. Because what was the one that I liked and you were like, that's a filler?
That's Super. I don't really think you've seen Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, Super.
Dragon Ball Super.
I like everything the filler
you've
episodes.
Seen, I think everything you've seen Dragon Ball related has been Super.
Because it's kind of like, but I remember us watching Star Trek, okay, Next Generation.
Uh-oh.
And there was some episode that we watched. It was like, this is not a good episode. And it feels like a filler. And I didn't like that one, I guess, because I like Next Generation and their normal storylines. I don't remember which one it was.
It was the one with Q and Robin Hood.
Yeah, that one was
so
dumb.
The story, that episode, I feel like that episode is more like the Dragon Ball Super episode that I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode where Goku and Hit have another interaction and there's training, right? And they have history and they will have more going forward, I'm assuming. That's the same thing that happened in this episode of The Next Generation. Picard has a history with Q and Q will show up again later.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just another part of this slow, long building relationship that they have.
I get that.
Generally speaking, yeah, it was pretty whack.
That was terrible.
That's another thing I like about Dragon Ball Z, or Dragon Ball Z in general, not Super, all of the
just Dragon
lines.
Ball. Yeah.
Dragon Ball in general. When they fight people, except for like Broly or basically just Broly, they usually build a mutual respect because Hit has a respect for Goku.
Right.
They always form mutual respects. And even though Vegeta doesn't want to let it out or whatever, he fell in love with Chi-Chi and they have a child.
Who? Vegeta? You spoiling stuff? You said Vegeta.
I did.
Okay. I'm just, something new. I don't know
he
about.
He fell in love with Chi-Chi?
They getting divorced?
Boomer.
Boomer.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa. Oh,
boy, I'm about to say, what? Don't be spoiling that kind of stuff.
I'm
going to
say some drama about to come out now.
No, I lost my train of thought. but it was based upon, and went back to Earth. So he wanted a family. He wanted to settle down. He wanted Trunks. So, and even though he's still kind of like, nah, he's okay with living on Earth. He kind of stays to himself. He trains all the time. Because at the end of the day, his main goal is to beat Goku.
Kakarot.
Right.
Now, I will say this. I'm starting to like Vegeta less in Dragon Ball Super than what I did before. I don't know if he's lost any ground being my second favorite character, but I definitely, the Dragon Ball Super Vegeta, I like less than the Dragon Ball Z Vegeta.
So you don't like the Family Man Vegeta?
I don't like the scared, I'm sucking up to Beerus and cooking in comedy Vegeta. Like, I don't need comedy with my Vegeta. The funny moments from Vegeta in the past is him talking trash about tin can androids and all this other stuff. Like, kind of like Frieza, how he talks trash about the Saiyans. That's funny to me. I don't need Chef Boyard Vegeta.
I thought you were going to say
Wait a minute. But you understand that the power gap is...
Don't care.
Oh, well, yeah. You
don't
care. No.
Because before Beerus, I feel like there's only been one time where Vegeta punked out, and that was against Broly. And that's about it. And he still didn't, oh, yes, sir, whatever I tell you, whatever you say, sir, I'm going to do everything for you. Please don't hit me again, sir. It wasn't that type of, it was just like, I can't believe someone is this strong in the universe. I give up. Other than that, Vegeta fighting to the death.
This is the thing, and you watched the movie, I'm pretty sure, so you understood how when he did fight, he did slap Bulma because she did something stupid.
What?
Not my Bulma.
He went crazy.
Yeah, and that's the Vegeta that I like.
And you saw what Beerus did. I won't even pick up one hand to fight you.
That's fine.
No, it's not.
But that ain't never stopped any Saiyan from continuously fighting before. That didn't stop Bardock fighting Frieza. He still like, no, I'm coming after you.
Yeah, but he was doing it for a purpose.
I'm just saying.
He was doing it for a purpose. He knew he was going to die.
Right. And that's the Saiyan pride that I like.
Oh, but he never did it to... Vegeta's, his pride has never been one to push him into death.
Buu Saga? Yeah.
Nah, not on the level of it was when he... Because even when he fought Frieza, he thought that he could win.
Right. But in this, he doesn't think he can win. So
at
now,
all. And he
now,
knows he can't.
And so now, in those moments, I feel like he's reduced to another Z Fighter character. You might as well be Chao Su then, the way he's catering to Beerus. Get out of here. That's not the Vegeta I know.
Well, but at the same point,
that ain't the Vegeta I know.
I mean, when you can't hit him, you can't do nothing.
Well,
and everybody knew. Because even like when Goku...
Bulma went up and slapped him.
And he tagged...
Huh? I'm just saying.
I'm sorry about that.
I will block
I'm
it
sorry
out.
About that. Yeah, yeah. About your woman. If you hit me, I will hit you back. Yeah, real quick, like, too. And then he got his rage. He had this warrior's rage.
Right. That's the Vegeta I like. All this other making
but
sushi.
But he's a family man now.
I'm just saying. Sushi making, steak, pork chop making,
hold on,
ramen.
And it was good, too. Because, you know, they ate ramen. And he was like, I think that they're trying to take it in a direction where. Even like with Krillin, everybody has a family. They've settled down. The only person still trying to fight all the time is Goku. Everybody else is like family or with Tien. I mean, Tien, but he's, you know, Master Roshi still on the island looking at nudie books.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
nudie books.
Everybody has found their niche. And I guess people aren't happy with that. They won. Now, I don't want fillers every day either. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't want filler every day. But at the same point, I'm not mad at it. No, I don't want fillers at all. That used to something drive me crazy when I was a kid. Fillers.
Now, I feel like I might be talking out of both sides of my mouth here. Dragon Ball Z Kai removed fillers.
Right.
I didn't like that either, though.
I I loved it.
But I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z, so I wanted to see Dragon Ball Z again.
With the fillers.
Fillers and all. Like, this is what I watched, and this is what I remember. And then they took it all out and condensed these shows and all this, and it just wasn't the same. Now, if the fillers had never been there...
I can do it out. And the reason why is this. As growing up, I had like 100 and some VHS tapes plus... of Dragon Ball Z, because you know they're only 30 minutes and you buy your VHS tape.
Three episodes on it.
Yeah, but that.
Sometimes four.
But you run through them quick. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I mean, I felt like it wasn't worth it because you were always waiting for the next DVD to come. I mean,
we talked about this before. It was worth it to me because those episodes had not been aired on TV yet. So that was always cool to me. To see these Dragon Ball Z episodes dubbed in English before anybody else did. Everyone knew what happened in general because we read blogs or there were magazines with spoilers in them. But actually watching it, actually seeing it, nobody really watched it. And like I said, this is back in a time where we're still talking about 56K. So ain't nobody streaming none of this.
No.
You might spend a whole month trying to download one episode and then it's in Japanese. With no subtitles. Mm. So
you have no idea what's going on?
No idea what's happening. So anyway, I watched more Dragon Ball Super episodes than that, but I don't remember what happened in them. So if you're ready, Tans, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's move on to...
Round two.
And let's talk about Crash Insane Trilogy for the Nintendo Switch. We will have no trailer reviews today. On our next Essentials podcast, we will be reviewing Madden 19.
Already.
What system did you buy Madden on? Just FYI.
PS4.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we can get on that. We can get on that. Okay. We can play something, man. Anyway, Crash Insane Trilogy for the Switch. When this game came out last year for PS4, I think it was a PS4 exclusive at the time, all I kept hearing and reading on the interwebs was how difficult the game was and how it was more difficult than the original game. I was like, okay, I'm ready for the challenge, but I never got around to buying the game. So that's why when it was finally released on the Switch, I think it also came out on Xbox One, I was like, cool.
That's correct.
That's cool. We can go ahead and play it and review it. I feel like it's not any more difficult than it used to be. I feel like this is a situation similar to Super Mario. You don't play it for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
And you go back to it. It's not. Yeah, it's hard.
It's not how you remember
it. It's not how you remember it. It's your reflexes, hand-eye coordination, all that is different. When the problem I had going back to the old original Nintendo and playing certain games is just getting used to holding that controller. I have never held the Nintendo controller as an adult. Like, I had small hands as a kid. It fit my hands fine, and that's all I was used to. Now I'm used to a totally different type of controller.
Because those controllers are small.
Small and square and sharp on the edges. And that plays a part into something, especially if it's timing-based platform type of game. So, again, I don't think it was any more difficult. I just think people hadn't played it and they used to be good at it. So they're just assuming they still have the same skills from 20 years ago. And it's like, nah, bro.
Bro.
Nah, bro. Like, you don't. I'm not saying you don't have any skills anymore if you're bad at Crash now and you used to be good at it. I'm saying you probably have different skills that don't involve Hootabaga. So,
Terrence,
what did you think about this game in general?
So in general, it gave me a blast into my past.
Okay.
Since I'm probably the oldest one here.
What?
Yeah. What? And it made me remember my youth.
Okay.
And I remember playing this when I was younger. Because it wasn't as, you know, now we get about 10 games a month. That's just how the video game world is
minimum.
Now. Minimum. That's not, then that's on system. That's not PC. Mm-hmm. That's not anything else.
It's crazy.
And I really felt like it gave me that feel. And I felt like it had all of the things that I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
The bosses, I mean, as you play more, they had harder bosses.
Right.
The first couple of bosses, you were like, psh, 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 and they were done.
The bosses don't necessarily live up to today's standards.
No. It's not epic.
No.
But at the time, I don't think we were looking for epic. Like even when I... Excuse me. Oh. Even when you know when I was watching you play today,
it's that Popeye's chicken,
boy. that heartburn. I felt like the bosses weren't meant to be 4-hour bosses. Right. Like some of the bosses now, you know, on the games, it may take you 30 to 40 minutes just to beat because the life bar is tripled. Right. What most games are, and you had just a three hit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given it was a progression of three hits, but it wasn't meant to just be forever, which I like. I like the music was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the progression in the game was good. So basically, yeah, Crash 1, where you just spun around and you used your little witch doctor. Mm-hmm. Which gave you like an extra, which you could get hit once or twice, and you could play. As games progressed, they introduced other vehicles,
right?
Other animals you could ride, and
those levels were dope.
Yeah, and it even encompassed another character.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good one as well. The voiceovers were good.
Yeah.
Crash never talked, but the villain always, and he had that deep voice, and
always
it was
had
like,
something to say. Crash, right.
And he was very articulate, mm-hmm. which is funny because he was very articulate for a bad guy. So it's not chaos. My AI difficulty. So let's say this.
This is what I want to talk about.
The difficulty I gave it around a 5, and it gets kind of hit or miss. The reason I gave it like that is this. If you're just going to maneuver around, the difficulty is not as bad. If you're trying to get all your apples and your crystals,
mm-hmm.
that's when it gets harder. Because if you miss one block or if you don't do something a certain way, then you basically have missed that whole set of blocks and that whole set of apples.
Right. So with me, the difficulty is not necessarily AI difficulty, which I gave a low score for also. I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of the mechanics and the controls in the game, which are the same as they were back on the PlayStation, which is a problem for me because the difficulty a lot of the times comes from this weird space. It's 3D, but it's not 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to aim and jump,
right?
Because you jump one way one time, you fall in a hole. You jump the same way the next time, you might make it over to the other side. There have been plenty of times, even on this game, where it appeared that I was on a box, but I wasn't on the box. So again, the difficulty is coming from weird shadows and weird issues that you would have had with the original PlayStation trying to create 3D graphics or 3D-ish graphics for the first time. The same issues are here on this version of the game. And that makes it very difficult when you're trying to time jumps or you're trying to jump on a box or you're trying to jump over something, but you really don't have a grasp on where you're at on the screen.
Correct.
So I'm sure there's a better way for me to explain it, but that's the best way for me to explain it. The difficulty comes from the graphics and the mechanics versus it just being a very difficult game. The way you maneuver, the way you jump.
Well, sometimes it seemed like you were standing on air. I mean,
right.
It was weird.
Right. But you weren't, but right. Then maybe you were.
Right.
But then, so when you tried to do something, no go. Like when you watch me play earlier, I'm the type that avoids the danger. I'm not trying to kill everyone on a level,
right?
Because I don't get any added bonuses from that. I don't get any extra apples for killing people. I don't get any extra crystals, any extra boxes. So all I'm doing is putting myself in more danger if I try to attack them.
You use caution first.
Right. So I'm going to just go around them. I'm not going to try to kill them unless I have to. However, when I did go around them, I still spun just in case.
Right.
And I never hit him ever. But I feel like if you watch me spin, I'm actually touching the enemy.
Right.
But they don't die. So there's something wrong with the hit detection there.
Okay.
Again, that's mechanics, right? So right. It just all goes hand in hand.
But I think that it was there in the beginning when we were playing it and when we were younger.
It was. But it was expected then, right? It was, I feel like, and I don't know, Terrence, for me anyway, I'm growing up with these video games and I'm seeing what's new as far as mechanics and controls and graphics and what they improved on versus what we had before, but what was still lacking. Right. So that was just a thing that, okay, this style of game is better than what we had on the previous gen of systems, but there's still room for improvement. So it was expected kind of back then. Now, even though this is just a remake of the old game, I would hope that they would have fixed some of the things that were lacking in the original game, besides the graphics. Because, you know, the graphics, if you go back and try to play old Crash, those graphics are
horrible.
Yeah. Pixelated all day, just blurry, right? So they fixed that. But as far as the gameplay and mechanics, it's the same.
But I don't think the developers at the time felt like that was, because platformers aren't typically to be that sensitive. I mean, Mario, Crash, when Spyro comes out, they give you a space, not so much the space to land in land on.
But I feel like if you just look at Super Mario Brothers, or the first Super Mario, I feel like the mechanics in that were more clean than this. These are sloppy mechanics. I feel like even though Mario, super basic mechanics, it was still a lot cleaner. It wasn't as sloppy. So
on the first Mario, you didn't have the same kind of movement. It was linear.
Right. But it was still clean. Like whatever they made, it was clean.
Okay.
This, they made something that was different and unique, but it wasn't clean. It was sloppy. And some of that slop is now transitioning to current gen systems, which is, like I said, for me, that's, price point being $40 new. Okay.
And you got three games.
Okay, cool. Like I can live with that, right? So $12 per, $13 per. Okay. Definitely worth cost of admission. I will say that.
Correct.
I was just looking for things to be cleaned up. When I was younger, I think I played the first Crash. I think I played the crap out of Crash 2. I don't think I ever really played 3.
Warped. Okay.
Yeah. So this is a new experience for me all the way around for the most part. So was it worth the money? Yeah. Was I expecting a little more? Yeah. Speaking of a little more, online totals. So we had a discussion before the show.
Fourth wall.
Let's break down that fourth wall. From your favorite movie, Deadpool 2. Catch you now on DVD and Blu-ray. Super duper edition. Anyway, we were trying to figure out if we wanted to actually rate the online, because it's non-existent in this game. Did we want to rate this game based off of PlayStation expectations from the original, or did we want to rate it based off of current expectations of a video game? So we decided to go with current. So for online, it's a zero. It's a big zero.
Because there is no
online.
Yeah.
Now it's a one player game. So some people might say, well, how would it be online? Right? How would you do online? Okay. What about something like you have time trials on Crash? After you beat the level, you can go back through it and do a time trial.
Mm-hmm.
What about ghosts? What about ghosts like Mario Kart?
True.
What about ranking leaderboards like that online with the fastest times? And you can challenge other ghosts or whatever. Maybe you unlock something, right? I'm not going to go that deep. Crash is not worth that level of thought for me. But let's do online time trials where you can race against the ghost. And it would also help people who have issues with the game. Like, a lot of the courses on Mario Kart, I learned how to play by doing the ghosts and seeing what the other people were doing. Like, how come I can never make this turn? How come I'm always falling off the rainbow right here? When I go to ghosts and race against the ghosts, okay, this is what they did. They could have done something like that. My main point with this, CRT, Crash Team Racing. I actually like that game.
Really?
Yeah. One of my favorite kart games. They could have implemented this game inside of this and probably could have put a $60 price point on it. That's something that could have been online. That's something that could have been in between stages.
This outside the box?
Yes. Ah, box. Yeah. See what you did there. So this could have had four games in it. Crash Team Racing, and then you could have implemented the online racing aspect of it. Especially with how popular Mario Kart was online. A lot of people like playing that online.
Yeah, especially on the Switch.
Yeah. So you could have implemented, you could have put Crash Team Racing on here and had that as a fourth game and played online. Especially, now I get they put it out on all platforms, but especially with the Switch coming out with the online services. And again, yet this is another game to come out with no online play.
Correct.
So you're not, besides the low price point, $20 a year, whatever it is, you're not enticing me to go out and purchase something for me to play online with.
Well, they're giving you a free game, free games per month.
Yeah.
I wonder why they did that. You think they just wanted to get it out?
It was time.
Yeah.
It was time. Their free online versions of online play was a lot better than PlayStation's free online version.
Right.
That used to be the big topic. I remember those days. You remember those days?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago now.
Free.
The topic of what was better, PS3 or Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox Live Gold versus
free.
Free PlayStation. So PlayStation Online was terrible. The service was sucked.
Like lag or something? Delays?
Just everything.
Oh, okay.
The lag was there. The lack of updates, the lack of support, right? But it was free. You didn't have to pay for it. So people, you know, whatever. Same thing here. I mean, Nintendo's online was good, but now that they're charging for it, maybe they can implement some more, either chat or
right,
whatever they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Trophies, achievements, something. I don't know. Who knows?
I could care less about trophies, but the majority of people that I know love it.
Yeah.
They love the achievements.
I like it, and I'm not trying to take a dig at Terrence, but it might come off that way. Because usually if I'm going to take a dig at Terrence, I'm going to just take it. So, but I like it because there's so many games and so much trash talk in general in the gaming community about who's better than who. I'm not saying achievements and trophies are a telltale sign that someone else is better at a game, but I think it could be a part of the conversation pretty easily. Who's better at what games based off what achievements, because some of the achievements are very difficult to unlock and take a high level of skill to pull off.
Look at me.
Where?
Terrence ain't having it.
Look at me. So, there are a lot of achievements that people have that you may never get based upon time. So,
but I'm not talking about those.
No, there are a lot of those can be done even with a high level of accuracy maybe to get those. If you have time, which sometimes we don't, if you have time, you have time to get better.
Okay, that's kind of proving my point though. So, if you don't have time to get better at the game and I have more time to get better at the game, that probably means that I'm better at the game than you are. Which you getting, me getting the extra achievements that come along with me putting the extra time in and effort to learn how to do X, Y, and Z can show that I'm better than Terrence at this game. Could. I'm not saying it's 100%, it's all the time, but I'm saying it could. For example, on my gamer tag, my gamer profile, I'm not going to say what it is. I'm not trying to get blown up by the five listeners, you know, listeners that we do have. But in my bio. Do you know what it says, Terrence? You know what it says on my bio?
What does it say?
Pit Boss achievement unlocked. Nuff said. Pit Boss achievement was this, I think it was on Modern Warfare 2. It was only for 10 points, but it was extremely difficult. It had something to do with running the course with under 10 seconds or whatever. You know how you ran the course on Call of Duty?
Right.
And you don't shoot the, you know, don't shoot the hostage, but shoot the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Switch pistols here, run over here, jump under that, climb under this, shoot that. Very difficult to unlock. So those are one of the achievements that I'm speaking of. Like that you have to use a lot of skill to unlock. So if I got it and you don't got it, man, I'm going to just assume that I'm better than you at this game. We can go head up, team deathmatch, and I'm going to win.
Or you have it and I don't.
Just saying.
Because I don't even think I bought the game.
Well, then that automatically shows that I'm better than you at that game. Right?
Because he don't even have it.
Because you don't even have it. So that would be no contest.
I don't even show that. I didn't show that at all.
I think it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Because my nickname is the ultimate gamer. So if I own a game.
Your self-given nickname. Yeah.
So if I own a game and you don't own it and you pick up the game and beat me at it, first day, first try, I need to just retire. I need to turn this into a sports podcast or something, because I need to stop playing games. We talked about this earlier with Madden. You said you were going to whoop me at Madden.
Yeah.
I have not played Madden in over 13 years. If I beat you at Madden or even come close, you should feel ashamed.
No.
Shame.
Because you know that statement?
Shame.
Every dog has his day. So it just may be your day that time.
But maybe Terrence is tired.
Yeah, like today when I took my nap.
Yeah, he was fed. He was well fed.
After ate my Popeyes, and now I got heartburn.
He's hydrated.
Yeah.
And he had taken a nap. So just saying.
Yeah, but I'm suffering from heartburn. So
okay. So anyway, so that can be a whole nother debate on a whole nother show. We probably need to do that because I have strong feelings about achievements and trophies that might get
Grumpy Bear
to come out.
Yeah, that is, I don't care about them at all.
So back to Crash. So I talked about the online and what could be good if they add it. Again, I talked about the boss difficulty. That was not the boss difficulty, the AI difficulty, mm-hmm. and the controls and the mechanics. I also like the sound. The music itself still held up because it was the same music. And I thought it was good. Stage music, voiceovers, all that. Graphics. So let's talk about the graphics. I liked them. I didn't see much wrong with them. There were a couple of parts where I felt like it could have been a little more detailed. But other than that, I gave it a 9 for the graphics. I liked them. I liked them a lot.
I think that was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah.
I thought it had great graphics.
Well, especially if I'm remembering it correctly. More than likely, if I were to fire up the old game on an old TV, it would look a lot worse than what I remember. But I'm remembering the graphics being bad. So when I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, this is dope. Terrence, any other specifics that you want to talk about for the people out there who are contemplating buying this game through anxgamecenter.com/shop?
So I enjoyed the game, but I enjoyed it for nostalgic reasons. And it did clean up well. I will say that. Cleaned up very well because I do remember it was a mess. And
it was a hot mess.
It was a hot mess, but it was a fun hot mess. See, everything ain't got to be beautiful to be fun.
That's true.
So I think that, you know, now you can actually see when he's spinning, what he's doing. I remember it when I was younger, it was just like a blur.
Mm-hmm.
Spin, and it would be a blur. So they've cleaned it up very, very well. The mechanics are still an issue, but I don't think platformers really. I don't buy platformers for. I buy them for mechanics. So I don't want to just be jumping and like if I jump and jump halfway across the map, and I miss my target altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they thought that if you, and it catered to. I think they really cater towards us, but in the fact where our kids see it. Like, hey, this is what mommy and daddy played when they were younger. Mm-hmm. And see how cool it was when they were younger. Mm-hmm. But it also gave us a chance to go back and say, I played this game when I was younger. So I think with that in tow, they made it to be, if you jump over here, you still gonna hit him regardless. Mm-hmm. In reality, us as gamers, that's not what we really wanted. We want to jump and be precise.
Right.
Because there's like we were talking before, you miss a box one, and when I was watching you, mm-hmm. you miss a box one, you got to die just to go back and
right.
do everything the correct way.
When I was doing the bonus stages.
Yeah. So,
which I really enjoyed most of the bonus stages.
Right.
Those are a lot of fun.
But if you miss something,
because I kept trying to jump off, and you're like, what you doing?
Right.
And I couldn't jump off. Like, I was trying to kill myself on purpose and I couldn't do it. I was like, oh man, I gotta start over. Missed that box.
Right. And that's the thing about it. So I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it at all. I liked the game.
But
I didn't
Right. The same way I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Fourth wall.
Breaking down that fourth wall again. I mean, I'm not the biggest Crash fan anyway. In the 90s, when I thought about PlayStation, I thought about Crash, PlayStation exclusive, because they put that in your face.
Correct.
But Crash wasn't for me. I think Crash, probably I saw more kids playing Crash. I was more into the Tekken and like the Final Fantasy stuff aspect of PlayStation.
Right.
Exclusive Twisted Metal, those things, like, ooh, I'm missing those days of exclusive titles.
And I was into the exact opposite. I was into the Persona,
okay,
and the 1 and 2, because those came out on the earlier systems. I wanted a game where I got 60 hours worth of gameplay,
mm-hmm.
where I could put the joystick down and go make me a pizza. Totino's.
Heck yeah, those used to be 99 cents.
99 cent, couple noodles. You know, and I could come back and I would be right where I was. Crash, you couldn't do that. I mean, you could put it on pause, but it didn't have the same feel. So I was an RPG-er at heart. Now, I still play Madden, so I was at different ends of the spectrums. But Crash was cool, but it wasn't like my Mario.
We were not the target demographics.
No.
For Crash.
No.
So I think the Tekken probably appealed more to us. The Final Fantasies. There's one, Tomb Raider. I wasn't a big Tomb Raider fan either, but I think I was the target demographic for that. Gran Correct. Turismo. I was big into Gran Turismo.
And you brought up something, because the Tomb Raider earlier mechanics were horrid.
Yeah, it was terrible. That's why I never got into the game. If I try it, first one, I don't like it. I usually don't care if it gets better. The only exception being Burnout, because the rights were sold to a different company. Rights were sold to EA, and then they changed it completely. Okay. Okay. Grand Theft Auto, when they went from the overview
mm-hmm.
to the third person,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's a whole different type of game. Let me try this out.
Right.
Now, if I did not like GTA 3, I probably would not have continued to play, no matter if they fix the bugs or not. That's just me. So anyway, what did you score the game?
Overall. I gave the overall.
For the Switch.
The Switch. I gave the overall. And this is more.
Oh.
I gave it a
5.98. Whoa.
What?
What?
Yeah.
That's what? Bad.
It didn't help that, because my scores were average. So my total for musical totals, I gave it 7.5. My graphics totals, it's pretty good, so I gave it 8.9. So, but my gameplay total, I gave it 6.1.
Okay.
But I guess that's weird. You said you liked the game, but you gave it a 5.9?
But there's the thing. We gave online totals 0. So that dropped it tremendously.
Yeah, but see, I don't agree with y'all including that.
Oh, what?
If there's no online ability, then why? That doesn't seem fair to include it.
So this is what we talked about before the show. Nowadays, online gameplay is expected.
Correct. In some regards. Every game has some kind of online capabilities.
So if the new Madden came out and you couldn't play online with your friends, there would be an uproar.
Correct.
There would pitchforks, fire, they burned down EA headquarters.
Okay, I hear you.
Call of Duty, same thing.
If Call of Duty didn't have online, it would basically destroy the franchise.
Right.
There was some emphasis in that. Yeah. Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's more where we're heading. When we review these games, the sections that we have that we score, most of the time should be across the board and could be applied to most games.
Okay, that makes sense.
So my overall score, very similar to Terrence's. I mean, my graphics were 9. My music was a little higher. And my gameplay was slightly higher, 6.57. So it wasn't great. For overall score of a 6.51.
Okay. I see where y'all are at now.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, for the money, we don't have a section for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a section for price. But for the money, definitely worth it, especially if you can find it used. Because now you're talking about $30.
Right.
Versus a $40 brand new game. And you can buy it used because there's no weird codes or anything that you have to use. Definitely worth $30. That's $10 per game. I guess that's where I'm at with this game. This seems more like something that would be, for lack of a better term, it would be an Xbox Live Arcade.
Correct.
That you can spend $5 to $10 on if you bought, not the full game, the individual games.
Okay.
You know, kind of like, you know, how they did Sonic and, you know, things like that. I feel like it could have been in an arcade somewhere or Xbox, you know, PlayStation, whatever it's called, individually for about $10 each. And people would have bought them. They probably are out there, the originals, but this is remastered. So I think, yeah, for the money, definitely go pick it up. Go try it. I would have rather tried it on PS4 because, you know, that's just how I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to see Crash on Nintendo. Not trying to see Tekken on the Xbox 360. Not trying to see Final Fantasy on Xbox One. This is not natural.
Right.
This is unnatural.
This is unnatural
behavior. So anyway, to the point where we saw at our local gaming store, it was there for the longest. The limited edition of Tekken 7 with the Heihachi statue. Mm-hmm. I think Jin was in a statue mm-hmm. too or whatever. It was on clearance. It was on reduced clearance.
Is that the one that I thought it was the actual game console?
You thought it was a console because the box was so big.
Yeah, right. And I was like texting my friend. I'm like, oh, they have a
Xbox
for $100 or something. He was like, that's not the console.
Right.
I was like, oh, why is the box so big? Good Lord.
Right. So to the point where I didn't even buy that. Like I thought about it because I wanted that statue. But I didn't even buy that. That's not natural. Can't do it. But I did it. I did it this time. For the podcast.
It's unnatural.
For the people.
For the peeps.
Got to give the people
what they want.
Okay.
So, let's go ahead and jump into a...
Round 3.
And let's see what Unbiased Ann thought about it. As normal, we gave her the controller. And said, hey, play this.
Hey. So, let me just say, I have never even heard of Crash Bandicoot. Somehow... As I like to say, hoobaga.
Oh,
which I don't know what he's saying. I hear you, but I can't understand what you're saying. So I just say hoobaga. Anyway, I have never heard of Crash Bandicoot. I think it was like after my time. I don't remember when did it originally come out. I think we talked about this.
96 was when the first one came out.
Okay, so I had just 96. I was still playing Super Mario Brothers on the Super Nintendo pretty hardcore. So I think I was still devoted to that. Mm-hmm. And then I just, after Super Mario Brothers and y'all just said it, the driving.
Mario Kart.
And Mario Kart.
Super Mario Kart and Super Mario World.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
There we go.
After those two, I was done. No more gaming for me.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't think I didn't play another video game. Stop. I didn't play another video game. Until I was probably 21. And it was because my mom gave me my Super Nintendo back and I played Super Mario Brothers. I mean, Super Mario World. Okay. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to play it again. And then it was hard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm getting off track. But my point is I had already been playing Super Mario World. I put the gaming down. I totally missed Crash Bandicoot. And I think it came up when we, did we see an amiibo pop?
Last year? So let's talk about this. Let's break down that. Fourth wall. Again, I brought this up on a previous podcast that has yet to be released, I think. But we collect Funko Pops. If you want to see pictures of our Funko Pops, visit our Instagram page at ANX Gamecast.
Like it's a problem. We have a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Probably going to give a bunch away too at some point, or at least try to sell them. Anyway, so follow us. We were looking at Pops and we went up to Hot Topic, I think. And then there were like these, they had all these different types of Crash Bandicoots.
Wasn't this last year for San Diego Comic-Con?
No, I think it was last year when the game was released on PS4.
Oh, okay.
So we're looking at, I'm looking at all these exclusives. And Crash with a motorcycle bike jacket on and all this other stuff. I was like, whoa, this is dope, right?
Yeah, getting all
like,
excited.
Like, I'm not, like I said, not a big Crash fan, but I was like, oh, this is dope. She was like, I don't know what that is.
I've never heard of Crash Bandicoot.
We're not getting any of these.
Yeah. I was like, what is this?
They had the fancy little PlayStation. I think some of them had the PlayStation logo on there. I don't know. It was all metallic-y and okay. Now one of those pops are worth over $500. No, I'm just joking.
I feel bad.
Yeah, no, I'm just joking. So that's her first introduction to Crash Bandicoot.
Exactly. So I had never heard of it and he was getting all excited and I was very confused because I was like, I don't know what this is or what you're talking about. Normally like I have some reference because I have a little brother.
Shout out.
Yeah. And he's 6 years younger than me. So some stuff I had like been privy to, but I didn't really know it. But this I never even heard of. So I played it. Wait, let me back up. Uh-oh. Because I like to give two reviews.
Okay.
My first review was of watching Genesis play it.
Okay.
I loved watching you play this game.
Why?
Because I love the graphics.
Okay.
We've now talked about this many times. I love the bubbly, you know, the big bubbly graphics. Yeah. So I was like, what is this? And then I was like, hoobaga. And the little thing's following you around. I'm like, what is going on? And I love the theme and the music. And I was just like, I'm feeling this game. Mm-hmm. So I liked watching you play it. And so then when I picked it up, wait. But it looked really hard, actually, because you were going really fast.
Yeah, I didn't mention this earlier, but ANX Pro Tips. I feel like, especially after watching Unbiased Hand play, I feel like this game is easier if you apply some sort of rhythm or mm-hmm. cadence to it. If you go up to each gap and try to time your jump and things of that nature, you the flow of the game escapes you, and then I think that actually makes it harder.
Or you're too focused on making a jump. You're thinking too hard, right? Basically.
So if you just run through it and just try to dodge everything and don't think so much, sometimes it's a little bit easier to try to go full speed versus run up. Okay, stop. Okay, time this. Okay, try to jump this. And then because there are certain points where you have to then speed up. And now you're not used to that speed of the game because you're taking baby steps through it anyway.
Yeah. But when I watched you, you were going really fast. And I was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. Like it was cool looking, but it seemed kind of intimidating because I was like, you are really going fast. And so I wondered, like, do you have to be very comfortable to play this game? Because I can't go that fast.
Like you were going to have a margarita or something?
No, comfortable, like just control of the controller or whatever. Anyway, mm-hmm. So when I played it, I did still like it. It was kind of hard.
Yeah.
But I did have to do that. I probably had a hard time because I kept having to like run and then, okay, wait, let me back up. Okay, now let me make sure I understand how to kill these things. Okay, now let me jump. Mm-hmm. But it was still fun. I mean, I did get frustrated and want to give up and you wouldn't let me. So I finished that one level. But.
Well, I feel like when you were playing it, you were applying those Super Mario tactics to it and mm-hmm. you couldn't really do that. So when you would try to jump over the gaps, yeah. You would try to give it a running start.
And, yes, I did.
And that and doesn't help you on this game.
Right. That's
unfortunately.
That's not how this works.
Because that game was linear.
Right.
So linear, you can see it as linear.
Right. Because you're looking at it from side.
Correct.
Yeah. But also, like, you were talking about the mechanics or whatever, where mm-hmm. it was confusing because I was like, am I in the air? Why did I make that jump, but I didn't make this jump? That right. got kind of confusing.
Yeah. Confusing and then frustrating.
Frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah.
It got annoying.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of little things that I absolutely loved about this game. Like when I first played it, I ran into that plant and it ate me. And I was the girl, and it so it like ate me, and then it spit my shoes out. And mm-hmm. I just thought that was like the funniest thing. I was just like, and then there was one where I fell off a cliff, mm-hmm. and all my like purse and backpack or whatever like flew back up in the air. Mm-hmm. And it was like those little details that just made me laugh.
And you really liked it earlier when I tried to jump over a gap and you walked in front of the TV.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That was my bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
And I guess the other little things that I liked, too, were they kept the yo-yo. They kept him and his yo-yo in there, which, you know, now I don't think no one does yo-yos. But in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yo-yos were like a big deal.
Humongous. I mean, I still got my Hyper Warp upstairs. I mean,
I don't. Shout but out. I remember the ones that lit up and mm-hmm. people were throwing around.
Right.
But I loved the graphics. I loved the theme, like the different themes. Like it was all tiki, you know, mm-hmm. and I liked the music. I liked the hubaga and the little guy flying around. And I liked just the extra little details. And it did remind me of Super Mario. There were just something about it.
It's,
like
it's the Super Mario or PlayStation. I think that's safe to say.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It did. There was just the way that you had to jump, you know, to get the box or whatever, the apples. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't that apples were in Super Mario, but just the way you had to jump and yeah. just like you did with the question mark.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway.
And these boxes had question marks on them.
Oh yeah, they sure did.
Yeah. So it's the PlayStation version of Mario. It's the PlayStation version of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
So
it was good though. It wasn't too hard. I mean, I probably couldn't have gotten real, real far, but it was fun to play. I liked it.
Okay. So you would recommend people to go buy this?
Oh yeah.
Terrence? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Go on, yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's three. Even though we got low scores, you wouldn't be able to tell by the scores, but I think everyone should check it out, especially for the price point.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially since it's not a typical $60 game.
Right. All right. So I think we pretty much covered everything. It's time to wrap up the show. Terrence, any final thoughts about anything?
Not right now. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed the game. I look forward to Madden.
Madden. Yes. So again, next Essentials podcast will feature Madden 19. So again, let's go ahead and wrap up the show. Let's do the social media thing one more time. Follow us at ANX Gamecast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the Apple Podcast app. Don't forget to visit our website, ANXGameCenter.com, if you can't remember those social media outlets. And again, send any emails to podcast@ANXGameCenter.com. We do check it.
That's it for today, guys. Thanks for listening to ANX Gamecast. Be on the lookout for more Essentials levels coming soon. See you next time.